Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning comes in the form of a question. Can you fit through the door? Based on our gospel reading from Luke 13, these verses, and someone said to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I encourage you to follow your sermon outline provided for you in your bulletin. It's a blue insert this morning as we consider our theme, Can You Fit Through the Door? A Sunday school teacher was testing her students after a lesson she had taught about the omnipotence of God. That is, the ability of God to do anything. And so she asked the children the question, children, is there anything God cannot do? And there was silence. And then a little boy in the back of the classroom raised his hand, and the teacher was a little bit disappointed because she felt they missed the point of the lesson. And so she said, okay, can you tell me, what is it that God cannot do? And the little boy said, well, He can't please everybody. In many respects, this is what's true about our sermon text, our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 13. This gospel reading this morning just can't please everybody. In this section of Scripture, Jesus is telling it like it is. And He's holding up a mirror for all of us to look in. And in that mirror, we will see our sin, our rebellion, and our pride. And in our mirror, we will see a stern warning from God that it's time for all of us to face God's truth before that day comes when it's too late. Now, there's good news in this passage of Scripture, but we really have to search for it. To get to the good news, first, we have to hear Jesus' words about a narrow and then a locked door in God's judgment. You see, if you've come this morning just to be entertained or to feel good or to have your consciousness soothed, you won't be pleased. What the little boy said about God in the opening illustration may very well be true about this sermon. You can't please everybody. But the role of a preacher is not to be pleasing. It's to be true to God's word. In the gospel reading, we find Jesus teaching in villages and towns on his way to Jerusalem. And a person in the crowd asked Jesus a very simple but very important question in verse 23. Lord, the person says, Lord, will those who are saved be few? This is a question many of us have asked in one way or another. Will only a few people be saved? Of all the billions of people on this earth, how many will make it to heaven? What about my neighbors? What about my friends? What about my family? Will only a few be saved? Now, Jesus could have answered this question with a quick yes or no, but He didn't. The next seven verses of this gospel lesson comprise His answer to the question. Jesus was addressing an individual, and He still addresses us today as individuals. He never answered the question in a purely academic or impersonal way. No, He cuts to the very heart of the person's question. And the question that each of us here this morning is to be asking. Here's the question. Lord, am I among those who will be saved? How can I be sure of my salvation? What is the assurance I have for going to heaven? Is it possible for a person to deny or to put off their need for salvation so long until one day it's too late? Jesus gives a detailed but very direct answer. Verse 24 of the gospel lesson, here's what he says. Strive to enter that narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but they will not be able. The kingdom of heaven is pictured as a great house, and the entrance to the kingdom of heaven is through a door, but it's a narrow door. Now, the text never tells us that our effort is to try to push open the door. Oh, no, the door is wide open to begin with, but it will be shut. And it will be locked after a time. We are not to let anything prevent us from entering that narrow door while there still is time. Now, why does Jesus picture this door as being narrow? Well, I wonder how many of you remember the old children's fairy tale, Alice in Wonderland. Remember the story, Alice in Wonderland? Alice is following a whole host of peculiar characters in her efforts to get back home. And at one point, she stands before a door and she knocks and she tries to get in, but that door is so small, there's no way she can fit through it. So Alice must drink a supposed magic potion that shrinks her down, that gets her to a small enough size so she can go through the door. In Jesus' teaching, in our gospel reading, the kingdom of heaven is quite narrow. Now, it's open for the time being, but it's very narrow. So narrow that Jesus says we are to strive to enter it. The verb that he uses can be translated to struggle or to make every effort to enter it. It's the same word that's used in athletic contests of his days, where an athlete strives and struggles and sweats and makes every effort to get in shape to qualify for a competition. Jesus is speaking to us of the struggle and the agony of repentance. Repentance is made up of two parts: feeling sorrow for our sin, but then turning from our sins and turning in repentance to God, trusting that He will forgive us and restore us. This is the way we enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, tied to the picture of the narrow door and Alice and the door in Wonderland, repentance, and here's the point, repentance may be seen as you and I making ourselves very small before the presence of God. Very small. We disrobe ourselves of all the self-righteousness in which we wrapped ourselves. We stand before Almighty God, having been willing to have Him strip us down to the very last rag of our sin. And through repentance, we can enter through that narrow door, not because of what we've done, but because God has forgiven our confessed sins, stripped it off us, and made us small enough to squeeze through that door. It's sure easy to stand behind a pulpit and talk about repentance. Repentance, though, real repentance, is a true struggle for sinners like you and me. True repentance hurts. And it goes completely counter to everything our culture today teaches us. We're told today, if anything hurts us, if anything causes us discomfort, then we're to run away from it at all costs. But I would rather trust my Savior Jesus than this self-centered world. His nail-pierced hands and feet speak clearly. They speak of a Savior who died for us, who was crucified for us to pay for our sins. A Savior who's risen in victory over sin, death, and the devil, and He's done it for us. And if Jesus tells us that our sin separates us from Him and makes us not able to fit through that narrow door, then we are to trust what He says and His solution. And so we repent of our sins and thankfully receive His forgiveness. And we await that wonderful day when with His nail-pierced hands, He looks you in the eye and welcomes you through that narrow door. Can you fit through the door? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that the Bible says to the prophet Isaiah, all of our attempts at self-righteousness are like a pile of filthy rags? Do you know that St. Paul says in the book of Romans, we have all fallen short of the glory of God? We cannot save ourselves. Not almost. Not just about. Not sort of. We can't stand at that narrow door and present ourselves before a holy and almighty and perfect God and say, look how nice I am. Go ahead. Go ahead. This morning, take a good hard look at yourself. Look at your life. What do you see? An honest look will reveal your sin, your rebellion, your pride. If you today are feeling some discomfort, if you are somehow disturbed by being reminded of your sins, good! Because that means God the Holy Spirit is at work bringing you to repentance so that He can squeeze you through that narrow door. The door is open right now. Judgment Day has not yet arrived. That day when the door will be shut forever. Now some here, by God's grace, have already stepped through that door. To those who have responded in simple trust to the Savior's love and sacrifice for them, hear this very clearly. There is no need for you to ever fear that that door will be shut to you. But at the same time, there are many people, maybe even some here this morning, who need to hear the words of warning in Jesus' text. The next verses, Jesus says, I quote, many will seek to enter and not be able. The master of the house will shut the door and you'll begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. And He'll answer you, I don't even know where you come from. Then you'll begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. And He will say, depart from me. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus here is warning two basic types of people. The unrighteous and the self-righteous. Notice your bulletin insert. In verse 24, Jesus said, many will seek to enter and not be able. These are the unrighteous. These are the ones who will try to squeeze through that narrow door without faith or repentance. They will turn a deaf ear to their need for a Savior. And due to unrepentant sin and lack of faith, this person is unrighteous. And to them, the door is too narrow to pass through. And one day, it'll be shut forever. Oh, there's a second type of person talked about here. In verse 26, they stand outside the door and they say these words. Listen to what it says. Lord, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But He will say, I don't even know you or where you've come from. Here is the religious person. Here might even be the church-going person. The person who claims he or she was exposed to Jesus, even heard some sermons, perhaps was a church member, maybe even knelt at the communion rail. But this person never really struggled with their sin, never really saw themselves as a sinner in need of a Savior. They counted on their religious deeds and their good lives as a way to get right with God. Some of these people are inside of church buildings this very morning. But there's a surprise in store, because on that final day, the text says they can stand before the Lord saying words like these: "Lord, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets." Translation: we attended church. We did religious things. Our name was on the membership roll. And the Lord will say, "I don't even know you." My friends, today's text from Luke 13 is not an easy text. If you've come here to be made happy or entertained, you won't be pleased. In this text, Jesus tells it as it is. On the last day, that narrow door will be closed. Only God knows when that day will be. But let me ask you this question. When will be the last day of your earthly life? What day and what hour are you going to pass from this world to the next? Only God knows. So it's a bad mistake for anyone to say to themselves, "I won't get right with God just now. I got more important things I want to do. I don't want to go through the discomfort of struggling with my sins or repentance or humbling myself before God. Church might be a big deal, but the kids got a soccer game this morning." Do you hear that narrow door shutting? "The day is coming," says Jesus. "But now, are you tired of all this law? Are you tired of this warning? Is there any good news in this text? There is great and glorious news in this text. But first we had to hear the law before the sweet gospel is as sweet as it can be. We must know the reality of the bad news and the warning before we fully appreciate a text that says something like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to the last verses of this text. Here is finally some good news. I can tell you're waiting to hear it, as your heads bow lower and lower throughout this message. Listen to this wonderful, wonderful passage. Jesus says, 29 and 30, "And all people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south. They'll recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." Oh, the width and the depth and the height of God's mercy. Literally, people from all four corners of the earth will be in the kingdom of heaven, from every nation, from every tribe, from every color, from every language. The proclamation of the love of God in Jesus Christ will create saving faith in the hearts of millions, says the Lord. And this isn't even the best news. Here's the best news. And it's meant for you and me this morning. Jesus says, and there the last will be first. The last are people who aren't humanly great. The last are self-admitting sinners and failures who have thrown themselves upon God's mercy. They don't have what it takes to look God in the eye and say, "You gotta love me, I'm so wonderful." No, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we are the last. We are the ones who have honestly admitted our failures and sins and our need for a Savior, and we may be considered by the world around us the last. No matter. In God's eyes, we are first, and to us will be opened that narrow door. To be first in God's kingdom is to admit our sin and our need for a Savior, and to stand upon Him alone in this life and the life to come. The key is standing upon Him alone and not upon our merit or our own righteousness. A missionary in Samoa was given a most precious gift by his village chieftain. It was called the chief's fine mat. It was a woven mat that you and I would see at the entrance to many homes. But this mat was very precious. The chief told him this mat and standing upon this mat would provide him anything he would ever really need. Now, it sounded too good to be true. But time went by and this missionary ran into some problems. He found himself owing a local merchant over $1,000 for supplies and he couldn't pay the bill. So he timidly showed the fine mat to the merchant and he stood upon it. And he was forgiven his entire debt. Later, he traveled to another village far from where he lived and preached an evangelistic sermon, which really upset and angered that local chief, because he told the people of that tribe to put away their idols and false gods. The chief was so angry, he ordered the missionary killed. At the time of the sentencing, the missionary pulled out the fine mat and he stood upon it. And the chief got the order to set him free. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that He gave His life for you, is your fine mat. The Father in heaven sent Him to this world so that anybody who stands upon Him may be saved. The debt of our sin is far too great for us to pay. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus, our Savior, by dying upon that cross and rising from the grave, has paid our debt. He conquered death. He has reconciled us to our Father in heaven. And today, He invites you and all people and me to stand upon Him. We stand on Him as we repent of our sins. We stand on Him as we receive His gift of forgiveness. We stand on Him as we, by God's amazing grace, enter that narrow door to His kingdom of heaven. My friends, can you fit through the door? You can, today, eternally and only, because of Jesus our Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen.